In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus.
Good morning. I want to welcome you to the Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren for our worship service today. We're so glad that you have come out to join us on this first Sunday of the new year 2021. And for you that are visiting, we certainly say a warm welcome to you. We're glad that you're here and hope that you can come and be with us at other times as well. I want to say Happy New Year to you. It's a different kind of year because of the pandemic. And I'm just praying that as we go into the new year, that God will be with us in our time together. So as I welcome you here in the sanctuary, we remind you we would want you to wear a mask. For you that are not wearing one or cannot because of medical reasons, we've got Sunday school rooms open where you can be in there, and the audio is being transmitted there. For you that are out in the cars today, we want to say welcome to you. We're glad you're here to join us in that way. For all of you, we just say welcome, and may our time together be a blessing as we worship. I want to share with you a message. Make this your New Year's resolution. And so, this is the message this morning I want to share with you. Have you heard about the man who moved into a retirement community to spend the rest of his life there? And it wasn't long until he had made a number of friends among the other residents where he was living. And there was this one lady he was especially attracted to. And she became attracted to him. So they spent a lot of time together. And finally, one evening, he proposed asking her to marry him. The next morning, he woke up remembering his proposal, but he couldn't remember her answer. So he went to her and he said, "I'm really embarrassed. I proposed to you last night, but I can't remember if you said yes or no." And she said, "Oh my goodness." "Thank goodness," she replied. She said, "I remember saying yes, but I couldn't remember who asked me." You know, sometimes I feel that way when I'm trying to remember things. I don't remember things as well as I used to. And about New Year's resolutions, I suppose you have made some New Year's resolution. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But, you know, when I make New Year's resolutions, I tell myself, this year I'm going to do better. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to exercise regularly. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to watch my weight, and I'm going to read through the Bible this year. And I'm going to do all the kinds of things to improve myself, both physically and mentally and spiritually. But it seems along the way, somehow I forget. I forget what I promised. I forget what I was going to do each day. And maybe you have that problem. Maybe you don't always keep your promises. Maybe you don't always do what your good intentions are, what you had hoped to do. So this year, I have a suggestion for a New Year's resolution that we ought to be able to remember. And it's just one resolution. It's kind of broad and it's very general. And I want us to make this New Year's resolution. So here it is. Let's promise ourselves and God that we will make a change for the better. That is, this year as God's people, as His church, let's make this one resolution. We're going to make a change for the better. Easy enough to remember? We're going to promise to make a change for the better. And to help us do that, let me suggest three ways in which we can make a change for the better. First of all, we can develop a positive outlook toward life. Okay. Now, during the pandemic, it has been hard for us to keep a positive outlook as we see what things are happening around us. The hardest funerals for me to have to preside over are those when someone has committed suicide. I have officiated far more than I like to speak about. But the different and the difficult part that it is so difficult is the reason that it seems to happen in the first place. And that is that people decide that life gets so complicated and becomes so messed up, therefore it's not worthwhile. It's not worth the fight and the struggle to keep living. So they say it's a lot easier just to give up. How do you feel about your life this morning? Is it worthwhile? Now let's change the question. What would it take for you to feel that living is worthwhile? What has to happen to make you feel really positive about your life? It's hard to do in this year of pandemic. It's even hard to do in what we're looking forward for, maybe another year of pandemic. What would make you feel that life is worthwhile? Would it be winning the lottery? When you didn't have any more financial problems, you had all the money, would that do it? Or if your marriage suddenly swept you off your feet again and you felt like you were being married all over again, would that do it? If your kids began to make you proud, or if you got a career promotion, would that do it? If the doctor said you're cancer-free, would that do it? What would it take for you to really feel positive about your life? Now, if that's the way you're thinking, then you probably will never feel really positive about life. Because those instant grandiose events that you dream about to make you positive about life probably won't occur. They probably won't happen that way. So if that's what you need in order to feel like life is worthwhile, then it's probably not going to happen for you. But I have to answer for how to make life worthwhile, and I find an answer. And it's in our scripture reading that we had this morning. It's in Philippians 3:10 through 14 as our text this morning. When I read that passage this morning for us, did you realize that Paul, who wrote that passage, was in prison, in chains, had been beaten, was bleeding, was what we would say, oh, this is the worst thing that could be happening in our lives. He was under Roman guard. He was under horrible conditions. And while he was in that state, he wrote that we read this morning. Yet despite that, he writes these wonderfully positive words. Now that I have already attained all that I long for, Paul's saying, I've obtained all that I've longed for, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And now he said, I'm not there yet, but I've taken hold of it. And this one thing I do, I forget what is behind me, what I'm going through, and I strain for what the promise is ahead of me. I press on toward the goal to win that prize that God promises, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Can you hear it? Can you hear what Paul is saying? Ask yourself, what is Paul trying to grab hold of? Paul tells us in verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. So I myself will somehow obtain the resurrection from the dead also. What is Paul reaching for? What is his goal? Paul's goal is the resurrection from the dead. Paul's goal is to be in Christ and live eternally. His goal is eternal life with Jesus. That's what he's reaching for. That's what he's striving for every day. That's what he's wanting to get hold of. His goal is Jesus Christ. His goal is heaven. That is what makes life worth living. Now, here's the point. If your goal is heaven, if our goal is eternal life with Jesus Christ, then when we have setbacks in life, when we have challenges, when we have pandemics, when we have losses, they are only stepping stones getting us closer to the time that we will have our goal, which is to have Jesus Christ in our lives for eternity. Now, there will be disappointments in life. Trust me. The Bible warns us of that. It doesn't say if they come. They say when they come. You will face difficulties in life. And when those difficulties come, every day that passes is one day closer to the time when you will be with Jesus. If that is our goal, as Romans 8:28 says, then all things that happen to us, that all things do work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purposes. In other words, what Paul is saying is that all things work for our good if we love God. You know, the world says that the way to feel good about yourself is climbing up the ladder of success, making a lot of money, receiving a lot of rewards. Those are the things that make you feel good about yourself. That's what the world says. But the Bible teaches us that we are to feel good about ourselves because God loves us. The Bible tells us that we are wanted, that we are desired, that we are loved, that we are pursued by God. So that's the first way to make a change for the better. Here's the second way to make a change for the better, and that is to develop a positive attitude toward the church. Now, I don't say this in a self-serving way at all, because one thing that is right about the church is that our desire is simply to lift up Jesus. It's not to build a big church building. It's not to have a full packed house. It's simply the purpose of the church is to lift up Jesus, to reach out to a lost and dying world with the message of salvation. Yet at times we hear people criticizing the church. You see, we have a different value system than the world. The world thinks that you're wasting your time going to church. They think you're wasting your money by giving to the church. They think that you're wasting your time by serving the church. If you want to hear about God and Jesus Christ, the world thinks that's a waste of time. There's a funny illustration from John Wesley. John Wesley was a great English preacher in the 1700s. And he was considered a rather spiffy dresser. One Sunday morning, he wore a bow tie into the service, and it had these long ribbons off the bow tie that were hanging down in front of his garment. And after the sermon was over, a lady walked up to him, and she said to him, "Brother Wesley, are you open to some criticism?" And he said, "Well, I guess so. What would you like to criticize?" And she said, "The ribbons on your bow tie are entirely too long and inappropriate for a man of God." And so she took out her scissors and she began to cut off those long ribbons that were hanging down on Wesley's garment. Now a hush fell over the people standing there as Wesley calmly asked, "Now may I borrow the scissors for a moment?" And as she handed them to him, he said, "Ma'am, are you open to some criticism?" And she answered, "Well, I suppose I am." And he said, "All right then, please stick out your tongue." Now that's a funny illustration in some ways, depending on which side of those scissors you're on. But in Ephesians 4:15, Paul says, we need to speak to each other in love. We need to speak the truth in love. We need to make sure it is the truth. But we also need to make sure that we're speaking in the spirit of love. When you criticize the church, if you're just trying to find fault and something to put down, well, you'll find many things. That's for sure. But if you do it in the spirit of Christ, you're going to do it with love. And so we need, if we're going to make a change for the better, is that not only do we need to have a good outlook on life because it's in Jesus Christ, we also need to have a positive attitude toward the church and to pray for it and to uplift it and to serve it. Well, here's the final way. Here's the third way in which we can make a change for the better, and that is to display a positive attitude toward other people. This is a hard world, and it's especially hard during the pandemic. The world is not always exercising courtesy toward one another. Sometimes the world we live in is a dog-eat-dog world. The pandemic makes it so much harder. People are jockeying for positions, for food, and scrambling over top of each other. They're protesting because of the unemployment and the need to just get by. They're protesting because of needs to pay the bills. They're filled with all kinds of stress and anxiety. It is a hard world that we live in today. But the church must be a place where we can all come together. And when you're in the family of God, in the church, you need to be able to know that you are loved and you're accepted. And that we want you to be here. We want to encourage you. We want to lift you up. We want you to know that we're all in the same boat. So when you come to church, it doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been or what brings you here, but what does matter is that we are brothers and sisters in the family of God, and we love you. We care about what you're going through. We care about the stresses that you feel, and we want you to feel welcomed here and feel that you don't have to put on a mask. And I don't mean the COVID mask. I mean a mask that disguises what you're going through. One of the things about the Boone's Mill Church that I really appreciate is that when I talk to people, both inside the church and when I talk to people who are not part of the church, they say, You know, everyone there is so warm and friendly in the church. We really feel at home when we visit and when we talk to the people. You see, when you treat each other with love, wonderful things happen for the kingdom of God. So this new year, let's make sure that we display a positive attitude toward others, and that we're open to them, and that we care about them, and that we love them. People need people. You know, many songs have been written with that theme in mind, that people need people. But people don't just need people. More than that, people need positive people, loving people, encouraging people, people who care and who love one another. And that's why I'm encouraging you to make this your one resolution this year, to make a change in your attitude about life for the better. And I'm suggesting that a change for the better would be, I'm going to be positive as I look at my life. I'm going to be positive as I look at the church. And I'm going to be positive as I look at others. And if you make this your one resolution this year to make a change for the better, it will be that you want to know Christ and to know the power of His resurrection. And if you are here today within my hearing, and somehow you've gotten away from Christ, somehow maybe you've never come to Christ and let Him be your Lord and Savior, then you have an opportunity to make a change for the better right now. On this first day of the Lord's Day of the New Year, I would invite you to come today and get your life right with Christ again, or to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And before I pray with you about that, I want you to pray to God. I want you to pray to Jesus during this song. Listen to this song as we meditate before I pray with you.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, you can have all this world. Give me Jesus, and when I am alone, and when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you can have all this world, give me Jesus, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. but give me Jesus.
Brothers and sisters, I want to invite you to come this morning and give your all to Jesus as I pray for you. Right now, today, make a change for the better. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we know that you are here today and we need to make a change for the better. You're speaking to us right now to encourage us, to help us, to change our hearts. We need Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we need your forgiveness. We need your grace. We need a life changed by that grace and love in this coming year of 2021. Show us how to do that right now. Show how that if we just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, that we can be born again by your Holy Spirit. God, do your miracle in our lives today as we open our hearts to Jesus so that we can surrender all to him. And we pray this in his name.
Amen. Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
But give me Jesus.